Hi, and welcome to the Ready to Talk podcast. I am your host, the Thoughtful Beast. Everyone has mental health, including our children. So today I have Lisa on the podcast to not only talk about her mental health, but how she has, as a teacher, introduced mental health to her students. This episode was actually recorded in 2020. So let's give that a moment to think about how our children were doing then. And now let's think about how our children are doing now, even coming out of, quote unquote, coming out of the pandemic. Whether we're in a pandemic or not, the mental health of our students, our children, is always going to be important. So let's listen.
Hi, everyone out there. My name is Lisa. I am a high school teacher. I teach English and drama. And then I'm also certified in yoga, which is kind of crazy. So sometimes I do yoga with my students when we're just like having an off day and all that good stuff. And I met Trixie, way back in college. But this is kind of like a crazy reunion because like we've seen each other online and now we're like back together after 10 or 12 years or so. So this is super exciting. And our paths have just merged like crazy with mental health and mindfulness and all that crazy stuff. So that's what I'm doing. And to give you a little bit of background, we met at UC San Diego. She was a dance major. I was doing theater and directing and stage management and all that kind of stuff. So I'm very much like the type of person that wants to have my hands on everything, and have everything organized and all that good stuff. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy, right? You start crazy. It's just like, hey, you want to talk about this? Okay. Yeah. I'm super excited to have you here. I'm super excited to talk about the topic you're here to talk about, but we'll talk about a lot of things, and introducing mental health to students. But before we get over there, let's go back a little bit. Let's talk a little bit of why you're interested in mental health. Like, what started your mental health journey?
I think what really started like the mental health and the mindfulness and like being aware of it all came when I was like 23. When I was 22, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. So for those of you who don't know, it's basically like this neurological thing where your pain receptors are always going off. So you feel pain, but you're not actually in pain, but you feel it. So it's like this weird disconnect in the brain. So pretty much like you're always in some kind of pain, which can be really draining. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of like the nuts and bolts of it. But with that, because you're always in pain, you've got like anxiety, you've got depression, because like it sucks to kind of feel pain all the time. And it's one of those things of like what came first, the chicken or the egg, in terms of like pain versus like anxiety and depression and that kind of stuff. So that was kind of, so basically they put me on meds. I hated the meds. And so then I didn't take anything for a year. And then I was like, well, I'm in a lot of pain. I gotta figure this out. And like, I was kind of going through all the options of what you should do and I couldn't figure anything out. So I was finally like, okay, I'm going to go try yoga, which I had been very, adverse to. Like, I did not want to go to yoga because I was like, yoga people are like these super skinny, hippie, tree hugging, vegan people who I have no connection to that, whatsoever. And I was like, I don't want to be like some hippy dippy vegan, right? And then I got to yoga, and I met Linda, who's my yoga teacher, who I still take classes with. Even like in quarantine, I'm still doing stuff with her. And Linda was not a super skinny vegan hippy dippy person. She kind of like had this like normal body, but yet she could like fold in half. And I was like, how can you do this? And she's like, yoga, you practice it. And I was like, oh, okay. And so that's kind of like the beginning journeys. Cause then as I started to explore yoga and then eventually I got certified, which to me is still mind blowing that like I have fibro, and I, And I was able to do this thing that was like so physical, which with like a lot of pain in your body is like really hard to do.
Yeah.
So like, and also I was like the kid who like walked the mile and like was totally adverse to like PE and like all that kind of stuff. So the fact that like I got certified in something that's, I mean, it's grounded in mindfulness, but there is like a lot of grounded in your body and being able to do all these different poses and things like that.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, hold on. I have maybe two questions. One, can you kind of describe what fibromyalgia feels like physically, I guess, like on a daily basis? And it's, then two, sorry, I'm going to ask them both now because they might just lead into the other.
Yeah.
And then the second one is like, how is fibromyalgia doing something physical like yoga? Because it seems like if you're in pain all the time, then you wouldn't move. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like that's your instinct.
Yeah, it is your instinct, which like, so you, it's kind of like this mind over matter thing. So with fibro, it kind of feels like a dull ache all the time that can get like better or like can get more intense depending on like how bad it is. So like sometimes I'll have this dull ache and I'm like, am I coming down with something or is this just fibro? Right? Mm. Like when you're like that kind of dull ache when you have the flu and your body just like hurts.
Yeah.
But it's also like specific to certain parts of your body. So like it's like really big on joints and stuff like that. So like my hips, my knees, my ankles, my shoulders are kind of like the main parts where like I'll feel it. And then and my back, which is kind of like your whole body, I guess.
But, all the areas, because they
all the joints and all the bones and all that kind of stuff. But well, and then what I found was when I went and I was like, I don't know how to do yoga, like that first day. And luckily there was this like wonderful woman behind the counter and she just kind of looked at me and she's like, you need to take Linda's class. And I was like, all right, I don't know who that is, but whatever. She's like, come back tonight at 6:00. And I was like, okay. And the, my like base yoga, like my baseline that like I always go back to is yin yoga. Mm-hmm. And what yin yoga does, if you don't know, is you hold poses for like 3 to 5 minutes, which sounds like awful, but they're like sitting poses and you use lots of props, which like is a really important thing in terms of, right. So many of us are like afraid to ask for help. And like with yin yoga, it's like, no, you have to use something else to help you. You have to use assistance, which is really great.
You're gonna fall over.
Yeah. Or you might topple over. But what it does is like by holding those positions, like these certain positions, it opens up the fascia layer between your muscles. And like what one of the things with fibro is it makes your muscles really tight, right? Because you've got your nerves going off all the time. And so like your muscles just keep clenching, right? And so by doing yoga, it helps calm down the muscles. And by doing like yin yoga, you're opening up all that fascia tissue to kind of like calm your body down. And then it doesn't hurt. And then basically you're not in as much pain. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm like trying to like relax my muscles and be like,
Yeah.
No, that does make sense. Cause I mean, that's, you know, like that's what we focus on for yoga. It's not like, it's not about being flexible necessarily. Like it's a lot.
Right. Or like, it's not about like, I mean, I know so many people who get into it and they're like, I'm going to do a headstand. And you're like, and it's like, that's cool and all. And like, I definitely had a point, like when I did like a headstand and learned how to do all that. That I was like, whoa, this is really cool. I never thought I could do this. But ultimately it's about, I think with everything that's going on, quarantine or not quarantine, like just being able to like take a breath and calm down and kind of like focus into your body and stuff like that. Yeah, just like taking some time for you and taking time for your body to like calm down just a little bit. And if you like, even if you can do that, if nothing else, like you've had a successful yoga session.
Yeah. I always, I love the breathing with yoga, especially because, you know, like sometimes you will do moves and you're like, I'm sore, like, and it's tight, and learning to breathe through the tightness and just like, mm-hmm. you know, telling your body, like, It's okay. Like, it is sore. Like, this is not comfortable, but like, I'm just gonna breathe into it and it's gonna pass. Like, it's gonna get
Yeah,
better. Just
absolutely.
nice. It's nice because it helps you every day.
Yeah, and then like when you like if you're doing like a certain pose often enough and you breathe into it and then all of a sudden one day you're like, hey, it doesn't hurt anymore. Or like this isn't a struggle anymore. I remember like the first time I could get into down dog and it wasn't like I had to think through everything of like what I'm doing and my placement and alignment and all that kind of stuff. I just did, got in there and it like and was relaxed and I didn't think I was ever going to get to that point with down dog.
That's awesome. I know, right? You get so far. So like, I'm not yoga certified. I just do yoga a lot, but I on the weekdays with my roommates, I have four of them, like we work out because I used to be a personal trainer, so I'll lead workouts and I lead yoga technically. I just like stretching in yoga and they just want to do it too. And it's like so funny because they're just like, oh my God, I can actually straighten my legs in downward dog now. And I'm like, yeah, dude, isn't it cool? They're like, I can sit up.
Yeah. Well, when I first started yoga, like for anyone out there who's like, oh no, I can't do it, and like I couldn't fold forward. Like I was sitting in a position and it was like, okay, now breathe in and like fold forward to where you can. And I couldn't, like I just sat there because I couldn't fold forward because that's how tense my body was. And then like soon enough, like I think it took like a year or so, I could touch my toes. And like we like stopped class and like took a picture in case like it never happened again. You know what I mean? Like, and that seems like such a silly thing, but like literally I couldn't fold. I was 23 and I couldn't fold forward. And so yeah, like it's the little achievements that you're like, yeah, I know like 75% of the world can probably touch their toes, but like I just did it and that's like the huge
It's
goal,
big.
you know, when you get to something like
I think it's way less than 75%.
that.
So you should be way more proud of yourself than you already are. But like it takes a long time to literally even like gain an inch. Like just like
Yeah, absolutely.
So yoga was your entrance to mental health and mindfulness. And then where did it grow from there?
Who knows?
Knows when?
Therapy, taught therapy, and then my stepsister is a Reiki master, and so she started talking to me about like Reiki and that sort of a thing. And then with like yoga, my yoga instructor would sometimes use essential oils. So then she's like, here are some essential oils that could like help. And so I got into like essential oils to like kind of help calm my nervous system down at night to like sleep and things like that. And so, and I like I just started learning different things and tidbits from like different people that I knew. And so I feel like I've just kind of gathered bits of information. I'm also like one of those people who I want to be like a constant learner. Like I like a lifetime learner. So like when people would mention something, I'd be like, hey, what's that? Or like, you know, and then I'd start like asking questions or going home and like Googling it or doing whatever. And so I've just kind of formed my own practice based off of like the people that I've met and the information that I've gathered and trying different things over the years.
That's re honestly, that's really cool because I feel like the thing with like mental health and having mental illnesses, it's just like it's so difficult. Like I feel like when it comes to like your mental health, like you have to like approach it from many different ways. And like
Yeah.
a lot of people don't put the time into that because the thing is like we're all different and so different things are going to work. And I would love to hear like how you feel like, because you're doing a bunch of different things, like from like therapy to yoga, getting certified in yoga, trying Reiki, essential oils, and like how does it feel actually? Because I don't know anyone who actually does all those things, so I'm super curious.
I think you pointed out a good thing of like not everything is going to work, and not everything like works like every day type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, and so there's like a trial and error, even for me on a daily basis of like, what do I need? Do I need to do this? Or do I need to just do some Reiki, or should I like do some yoga, or like, what should I do? And like, sometimes I'm like, nope, that didn't work. Okay. Try something else after 30 minutes. And so it's really just like listening to what you want. Like last night, I was like really irritable, and it was about like this time, and I was like, I don't know, why am I so irritable? I don't really want to eat dinner or anything. And so I just like went for a walk, even though I had gone for a walk earlier that day. I was like, that's all I really want to do right now. So I went for a walk, and I felt so much better, because it was like I just needed to move, because like, especially in quarantine, I didn't realize how much I moved as a teacher. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
How much I was on my feet every day. And now I'm behind a computer doing like Zoom meetings all the time. So, it's like finding out what, listening to your body and like what it needs.
Yeah.
Like on a daily basis.
And that's so great that you identified that, because like, sometimes like you just don't know, like, but it's just like a light, like that's, it doesn't seem like a life change, but like, that's like a big life change. I remember when I went from like teaching so much dance and fitness, like so many hours a day. And then I was just like, I need to cut back on what I'm doing. And then I started doing mental health advocacy like, on Twitch and stuff. And so I went from always being on my feet, like moving around, driving to different places, and then teaching there, to like 6 hours in front of a computer. And I was just like, it made me super depressed. And it took me a while to figure it out. Because I was just like, I don't understand. I took time off of my other things to get into what I thought I wanted. Like, why is it so bad?
Yeah. No, computer drain is super real. Like, you got to, like, take breaks throughout the day and figure out what works. And, like, I don't know. I don't want it to make it sound like this is easy, because there are like certain days where like I'm still irritated by 10:30 at night when I'm trying to go to bed and I can't fall asleep, and I couldn't figure out whatever it was that like I needed that day to calm myself down or whatever it was. Like it's a daily process.
It is, because like, especially now, because like, we're waiting for things to adjust, and things are going to adjust slowly. And then we also have to know is that things might be taken away again. Mm-hmm. And it's, that's like a turbulent time to be.
Yeah.
Just be.
There's just so many like unknown variables right now that like, I feel like a lot of times it's like, we just need to turn off the technology. And like, for me, like my go-to thing is like, turn off the technology, go read a book. Like go reading a book is like meditation for me, because I hate meditating. It drives me nuts. But like, and I feel like that's what everyone goes to for mindfulness, and they're like, oh, I have to meditate. It's like, no, you don't. Like, you can do a lot of different things. But yeah, with all the unknown variables, and it's like, wait, what happened today, and who said what, and well, so-and-so said this, but like, you know, Newsom said this, and we don't know. And so it's like, taking that step back and like separating yourself so you don't get too attached, because I feel like that's when the downhill is going to happen.
Yeah. And I hardcore relate to that, especially now. Like I definitely try to limit my exposure like to the news. Like I know enough to be like, okay, this is what's happening. When it comes to COVID, it's kind of like, this is in general what's happening. Cause like you said, like it's like, there's so many people saying different things. And it's hard, and it can really drain on you. And so like, I know I have to be very like, okay. And like, it's funny, cause like I have my boyfriend who I live with, and my two other roommates, three of them are super political, and they can talk about things like coronavirus, like all the time, and things that are happening. And me and my other roommate, Drew, we just like, will zone out after a while, because, or just like leave and do something else. Cause it's just like, I can't. Like, it's too much. Like, it's too much. Like, I don't, like, I can understand things and feel things and also not be like, I need to stuff this in my face, because it's just like, that's not helpful anymore. Like, I just need to understand enough.
Yeah, and like that's like the whole thing with being mindful is like knowing when you've had enough and stepping away.
Yeah, because then if not, it's just spiral times.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're not going to look at anything anyways. And it just, at least for me, then it becomes pure avoidance. And then I'm like, now I don't know what's going on in the world at all because I can't handle it.
Right.
So you're like, okay, we got to regulate a little. So
yeah,
it's okay. So what made you decide to start bringing mental health to your students?
I think when I started teaching, I realized I was like having a lot more students with like anxiety and depression. And I remember calling like old teachers of mine and I was like, is this like, was it like this when I went to school? Because I don't remember it being like this. And they're like, no, there's been like a major rise. And that was probably like 6 or 7 years ago that I started realizing that. And so, you know, I'd have these students and it was just, I had one group of students. I'm like, you guys are like my little balls of anxiety that like roll into the room every day.
Yeah.
And I say that like lovingly, but I'm like, we got to chill. Like we got to calm down. Like, it's going to be okay. You don't need to freak out about anything. And so then it became like, they would be coming in kind of like freaking out before a test. I'm like, okay, let's just take like 30 seconds and close our eyes and breathe and just kind of like calm everything down so you don't like psych yourself out before this test. And it was like bringing yoga into like my drama classes where I would do that. And then one of the teachers at one of my schools was teaching Siddhartha. And so she was like, can you teach like yoga to my kids to kind of like connect with Siddhartha? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so like, I just kind of started doing that of like trying to be mindful of my students and where they're at. So like, if it's like AP test time or something that's like really stressful, it's like, how about we do some more breathing or how about like we stretch or whatever? You know, let's just like get out of our desks and stretch or do whatever we need to do. With yoga, it's like I'm trying to teach the kid, or with drama and yoga, I'm trying to teach a lot of students like, hey, you got to take care of your body as actors, right? Like you got to be able to move. You don't know what like role you're going to have. And so like this is a really good way of like stretching every day to like help take care of your body. And so that's kind of where it started. Was in the drama classroom, and then I kind of transferred it over to my English classroom, and I've been focusing on it more in the last couple of years because I've been teaching honors students. Mm-hmm. And not saying that like honors students versus like non-honors students are different, but like I started noticing like the anxiety and the stress so much more in those guys that and it was like freshmen too. And I was like, you guys should not be this stressed out. Like your second week of school, freshman year of high school.
Yeah, for sure. It's a different world from when we were growing up. Like, mm-hmm. you know, people have always had high expectations, but now it's like, it's all online too. Like, and people know you, and like colleges have gotten even more competitive because there's more people going. And so you have to do everything. And It's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, some of these kids, they're like, but like, you know, I went to UC San Diego and then I went to NYU and the kids are, and I get these freshmen and I'm like, it's okay if like you go to bed early one night or like you watch an episode of The Office as like a break from like homework or whatever. And they're like, yeah, but what if that means like I don't get into NYU? And I'm like, then don't worry about it. Like, I don't want you to go to NYU. NYU has like, I don't know if this is still true. So like, don't freak out in internet land. But like at one point in time, it had like one of the highest suicide rates for undergrads because like NYU doesn't have a central campus. You're just like plopped down in the middle of New York City.
Ew.
And I don't know about you guys out there, but like I could not handle that at 18 of just getting plopped in the middle of like Washington Square.
Yeah.
And I tell my kids, I'm like, I don't want you to go to NYU. Like, it's fine. Like, if you want to go to the community college, that's cool. Save some money. Like, you'll end up wherever you're supposed to end up.
Yeah, there's, and this is a whole nother conversation, but there is too much of a pressure to go to like a 4-year college or like just like to go to a certain name where it's just like, mm-hmm. in reality, it's like looking back now or just while going through college where you're just like, you know, like going to Berkeley, like as an undergrad is not actually the smartest thing to do. You know why? Because these professors don't give a shit about you. They're there to do your research. And if anything, this will help better as a graduate because you are working.
Right. And like, yeah. And if you go to like a community college, now granted, like that was like, I wanted to get out. I need like separation from my family when I went to school. But like going to a community college, like, and you transfer to Berkeley, guess what? You're still going to get that piece of paper that says you graduated from UC Berkeley. And it's not going to say that you went to any community college or anything like that. You're still going to have the piece of paper. And like, that's what I had one of my students, and I had his little sister, so I like still keep in touch with the family, but like, he was like a good student. He was better in like math and science, and I had him for English and stuff. And he has his heart set on UC San Diego, and like his parents love me because I went to UC San Diego and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, but he couldn't get in right out of high school. And so he was like, I decided to do the honors program at the community college and then transfer to UC San Diego. And I was like, perfect, man. Like, I don't think I could get into UC San Diego today. Actually, I know I couldn't get into UC San Diego today for under, like, straight out of high school. So, yeah, it's all about, it's perspective. And
it is perspective.
And you'll get where you need to go.
So I do want to ask you, what was it like when you first introduced yoga to your theater classes?
They were a little hesitant. I think,
wait, hold on. How did you first bring this up and approach it also?
Well, they would like, see me stretching and they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm doing yoga. Cause like, I'm really like, my legs are tight or whatever. They're like, you know how to do yoga? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, do yoga. Like, they, like, whenever I tell kids that I can do yoga or, like, I'm a certified yoga teacher, like, none of them believe me. Probably because I do not have the body of a super skinny, vegan, tree-loving person. Like, I am very curvy. And so they don't believe that I can do yoga. And so then I'll do a sun salutation or something, or I go into, like, I'll do triangle or just whatever comes to mind. And then usually what happens is you get a bunch of athletes, usually boys, but not always. Like, I don't want to stereotype or anything, but usually I get like some athletes that are like, yeah, I can do that. And I'm like, all right, let's try it. And so I instruct them through it, and like, they can't touch their toes or something, or like, and they're like, how do you do that? Like, they, you know, and I'm like, it's practice. Like, I've been doing this for 10 or 11 years now. So, and that's kind of like the hook, is when like, you know, they're younger and more like able bodied than me seemingly. And then I can do something that they can't physically. And then it's like, wait, you like just tricked us or something. I'm like, no, I didn't trick you. It's just how it works. You practice something on a regular basis. And so that's usually kind of like the introduction into it.
So cool. And it's so funny because I can totally see it happening, because they're like, no, if you can do it, then I can do it.
Then I can, yeah.
Because there are so many like misconceptions and preconceptions about like yoga, like your whole like skinny little vegan whatever. I'm like, honestly, like, I laugh because I'm like, hey, that's how it's marketed. Like, let's all be real honest.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love yoga, like, I do yoga, but like, it's just like, I like, yeah, it's really hard. Like, if you go to YouTube right now and you search up a yoga class, guess who you're gonna see? But like, you're gonna see the same body type, the same skin color for mm-hmm. a while, until you find someone who is the same body type but another skin color. Like, it's like, we can't, you know what I mean? Like, it's become, I love yoga. It definitely has become something else with capitalism involved. And like,
yeah,
I'm so glad that you introduced it to your students, because it keeps people from doing it because it's only advertised a certain way, which is
right.
So unfortunate.
Yeah, because like I definitely, like, you know, 10 years ago was like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, that's not for people like me. Like, I was very adverse to it. But yeah, it is for everyone. It's just like, what we have to do is like, we have to stop like comparing ourselves to other people. Like, if you go into a class, like, guess what? Like, no one's looking at you in a yoga class. Like, and that takes like some time to like get over of like, am I doing it right? And like that type of thing, you're looking around and are people going to be looking at me? And like, whenever I look around in a yoga class to see like where everyone else is doing, like no one is looking at me. Like, no one cares about me. Like, everyone is just there to do their thing. And everyone, like, you know, like, you talk about, like, a pose or something like that. Everyone has, like, their own version of that pose based off of, like, what their abilities are. And that's going to change depending on how much they practice, potentially, and stuff. And, yeah, like, just like life, everyone's going to be different, and so everyone's going to have a different version of down dog or a different version of, you know, tree pose or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's very true. And so, like, how often do you practice yoga? Like, you know, before coronavirus, how often would this like mix into the theta class?
Well, not, it hasn't happened too recently with the theater class because of like space issues at school and like where I can get and time and get them to do that. Like my own practice changes like regularly, based off of my school schedule. Cause I also teach drama, which means I have after school rehearsals and shows at night and stuff like that. So a lot of the time, like I'll be in my regular yoga class that I've been going to for, you know, 10 years or whatever. And like, I'll be like, all right, I'll see you in a few weeks. And they're like, oh, you got a show? I'm like, yeah, I got a show. So like, see you guys in a couple weeks. But like, I used to practice like 4 or 5 times a week. And now I'm kind of like at a happy medium of like 2 to 3. But like in quarantine, I'm trying to do it more days, but like less time each day. So like I'll do like 20 or 30 minutes like every day instead of like an hour, hour and a half long class, like 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah. Do you try to do it over Zoom with your students?
No. That maybe next year once like the whole distance learning thing becomes like a norm, but no, not, it's been, the distance learning thing and doing like classes over Zoom has been super difficult. Yeah. Like it's almost impossible. Like I don't even meet with some of my classes because like no one shows up because they're not required to show up.
Yeah. Which is weird.
So that like everything in quarantine has been kind of weird, but like I definitely do like breathing with my students all the time. Like there's a certain breathing exercise that I'm a big fan of that I will do with them like before a test, right? So if they've got like an essay they have to write in class or something like that, I'm like, all right, I'm not giving you the prompt until like we breathe.
Can we do it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So it's pretty easy. You can close your eyes if you want, or anyone out there. So what you're going to do is you're just going to inhale through your nose for 4 counts. So count 4 seconds. And then when you get to that 4 seconds, exhale for 4 counts. And then on your next inhale, you're going to inhale for 5 counts. And now you're going to exhale for 5 counts. Now you're going to inhale 6. And now you're going to exhale 6. And inhale 7. Exhale, seven. Inhale, eight. Exhale, eight. And then when you're done, you can open your eyes.
Yeah, that was nice.
It's like a really good thing to just kind of like take the edge off and like slow your heart rate down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I've actually like taught it to a family member who has arrhythmia, has a heart arrhythmia. And so when that arrhythmia starts up, like, because, like, automatically, like, it happens and then they start getting anxious. So I, like, taught them that. And then it kind of, like, I don't think, like, it stopped the arrhythmia necessarily, but it stopped it from, like, progressing. And he was able to, like, stop the arrhythmia faster because he then didn't get anxious from, like, knowing that something's wrong.
Yeah, for sure. Like. Yeah, because if you panic more, then your heartbeat's going to be fast.
Right.
You're like, it's only begging it was.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, it's just like, okay, let's just, like, if you can tell that you're freaking out about something, like, try and, if you can, just, like, do that breathing. And so I tend to do that breathing with my students, like, before, like, a big test or if they're all freaking out. And one of the first times I did it with a class that was, like, a really difficult class. And they opened their eyes, and this kid just said, "What is that black magic that you just did?" It's like, not black magic, you're just breathing. But then that class was like, no, we're not doing it again, because, like, we think it's witchcraft. And I was like, oh, okay.
Children
sure.
Sometimes. Yes. That's weird. Okay, well, besides that, how have your other students, like, responded to it?
They really like it. And I have a diffuser in my class for, like, essential oils that I'll usually, depending on if it's, like, a morning or afternoon class. If it's an afternoon class, I'll usually throw in some lavender because lavender is very calming.
Yes.
And they tend to, like, be very frazzled when you get them, like, at the end of the day. Whereas, like, in the morning, they're, like, really tired. So I tend to put in, like, lemon or orange or, like, something citrusy to kind of wake them up. And I do the same with music. Like, I'll play music in my class. And I tend to play, like, Queen in the morning and then, like, classical music in the afternoon.
Calm down, guys.
Yeah. Because let me tell you, freshmen after lunch, they can bounce off the walls quite a bit. But, yeah, so doing that. But a lot of the time, like, there have been times where, like, they come in and they ask for it. Like, they're like, can we breathe today or before we do stuff, or can you make it smell like lavender? And, like, you know, they don't necessarily have the words, but they'll be like, can we do that today? Can we do that breathing thing today? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Okay. And so we'll take attendance and I'll say, okay, clear off your desks and let's just breathe for a little bit. And I'll let them do that, like, round of eight, like, a few times. Mm-hmm. I think I felt nervous doing it because I'm like, it's very silent. And that silence can get scary when you're live on the internet. But yeah, so I'll do that a few times. But it's nice. It's a nice little quick check-in that you can do for, like, you know, 30 seconds a minute whenever you need to. And, like, you can do that anywhere because it's just breathing.
Yeah. Did you notice any differences, like, with their tests or, like, with their, like, overall attitude the more you did it in class?
Yeah, like, attitude-wise, it just helps. I mean, if I did it on a, like, if I could do it every single day, which I probably should, but, like, you get caught up in stuff of, like, okay, now we're going to do this, or it's this class, so we're going to do this, and I got to do this, and I can't forget to do this. So even, like, myself, like, I kind of forget to do it because I'm, like, in my head of everything that I need to do with them. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they ask for it and, like, they don't fight it, like, a lot of the times, like, at the beginning, with, like, anything, you're going to fight it, right? Because it's scary. But, like, when they start asking for it, to me, they've all of a sudden become mindful because they know that, like, they're anxious or they're stressed or whatever, like, the emotion is, they're, like, frazzled or whatever. And so the fact that they come in and they're like, can we breathe, is telling me that they're being mindful and they know what they need, which is we need to take a second and breathe before we, like, continue on with, like, the next thing.
And that's so fucking great, because I swear, like, people don't realize that, like, you know, children, teenagers, like, even though they're not adults, they can still be having a hard time. And just because they're, like, young and vibrant, it doesn't mean that, like, that energy can't get out of control for them, or that it can actually have negative repercussions for them. And they have no idea.
Right.
And when your body's going through all those hormones and you don't know what's happening, like, that's a lot.
Yeah, and, like, some of this stuff, it's, like, it's hard. Like, they don't even have the words to, like, verbalize it sometimes. Like, you know, they're just like, I don't know. I'm just, and I'm like, okay, cool. Like, that's where we're at today. And if we just need to make noises to express ourselves, then that tells me enough of where we're at. Yeah, because, like, they have all sorts of things. And, like if I had to deal with social media in high school, I'd be a wreck. Like, that's, like, a whole nother level. And I think we forget that they're sponges. Like, they'll listen to anything that we say, because I do kind of, like, a – with my honors kids, we read Catcher in the Rye. Mm-hmm. And so we do a whole brainstorm before we get into the book about, like, what's difficult about being a teenager. And we, like, cover the whiteboard about, like, all the struggles that they have. And what's so interesting is most, and I say, okay, so do you think that, like, any adults know this? And they're like, yeah, no one gets that. No adult. And I'm like, well, guess what? I dealt with all of this in high school. I guarantee your parents did, like, that sort of a thing. And they're always, like, surprised by that. They're like, you have anxiety? And I'm like, yeah, I have anxiety. I mean, I was like, I'm not anxious all the time, but there's certain things that are going to make kind of get that anxiety going and stuff like that. And I think they're always surprised by that. And I know for sure, like, the first time I did it, I did not think it was going to go that way as a teacher. Like, it was one of those moments of like, oh crap, you got to figure out what to do next. Now that we filled up this whiteboard of all the problems that they have, like, what are you going to do about it? Because I was not expecting that. But, like, I think for them, doing that was, like, a really big thing every year, because they don't think that anyone's listening or paying attention, or they think that, like, everyone just thinks they're whining and stuff. And so that's, like, a really big thing, like, because they feel heard. And we all want to be heard, right? Like, if we're upset or we're anxious, like, everyone wants to be heard and, like, acknowledged for that. And, like, I think that's what it is a lot of the time with them, is, like, they just want to know that they've been heard.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, you know, I think when, like, they're little kids and stuff like that, like, we're more, like, okay with it, right? It's just, like, you know, like, even now when I think of, like, teaching little kids, like, how do we start? What did you have for breakfast? You know what I mean? Or they always want to tell you what their favorite color is, or like, what's their favorite animal? And I hate every time they say unicorn, because I'm like, that's not an animal. I won't tell my three-year-olds that, because I'm like, you're too young. When it gets to my five-year-olds, I'm like, you need to try again. You try again. I love you. Try again. But, like, the thing, you know, like, they want to be heard and stuff, and they love talking, and I feel like when they're young, we're like, yeah, they're so cute, like, and they want to talk and stuff, and unfortunately, like, the older they get, for some reason, like, their words become less important, and you're just like, what happened?
Yes, absolutely. And it's, like, and that's the thing with, like, high school, like, that I figured that out early on, is, like, they're in the process of becoming an adult, and so you have to, like, start treating them like an adult and, like, talking to them like an adult, instead of being like, okay, class, so this is what we're gonna do today. Like, you need to talk to them just like I'm talking to you right now, right? Like, two adults having a conversation. And it's amazing that, like, when I start the year every year. Like, some people think this is really cruel, and it's not meant to be cruel. It's just like, hey guys, okay, so we're in high school now. We're not middle school, and we're getting ready to, like, enter into the adult world. So I'm going to talk to you guys like adults. But if you're going to act like a kindergartner, I've taught kindergarten too, so, like, I'll treat you like a kindergartner, and, like, we can set up a timeout corner if you want, you know? And sometimes you'll have a kid that, like, tests me, and I'm like, all right, move over to the corner. And they're like, wait, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. But for the most part, and I just do it to, like, because they think they're being funny or whatever. They're still part of the class and everything. I'm not, like, being overly
cool. Oh, no, for sure.
I swear. But, like, it's amazing how, like, I have a lot less problems in my class, I feel, because of that. Because they're like, oh, she's going to talk to us the way we want to be talked to. Like, she's not going to talk down to us.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is a big game changer. And, like, there's some growing pains with it. Like, right? Like, coming out of middle school, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk to you like an adult. And, right? So there's some growing pains. But by, like, November, it's, like, smooth sailing. We're good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That really makes sense, though, because it's just, like, when you're a teenager and stuff, like, you are, you know, you are nearing adulthood, like, ready or not, you're nearing at least legal adulthood, where everyone's right. Like, we don't care if you're not mentally ready, you're gonna be charged as an adult.
Right.
We're gonna treat you that way. And so, like, but the thing is, like, you know, the parts of adulthood that, like, are so precious too is, like, respect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I hate that, like, I hate the fact that, you know, like, I don't know if you experienced this, but, like, you know, like, when you're growing up, that adults are just like, you have to respect me, you just have to, and there doesn't have to be any sort of reason, and then they kind of just, like, lord that over you, even when you get older, and it's like, well, where's my respect? And they're like, well, I'm always going to be older than you, so, ha! And you're like, what? So I feel like it's nice to be treated with respect. Like, that's probably what it's translating to for them. It's like,
yeah, like, someone's going to talk to me like a human being, and we're going to talk about stuff, you know, just, like, person to person, like, you know, and then I'm like, and I tell them, I'm like, I'll play the teacher card if I need to play the teacher card and stuff like that. And I also tell them, I'm like, hey, guess what? You're 14. You're going to screw up at some point this year, and that's okay. Just come and talk to me about it, and, like, don't try and hide it from me. And then, like, we'll fix it together, right? Like, I'll help you fix or, you know, process or whatever, because I don't know a single 14-year-old that was perfect and didn't screw up somehow, you know? And, like, I think it's important for them to know that as well. Because, like, as adults, like, we're just figuring it out as we go along.
It's all a lie, kids. We don't know anything that's happening.
We're just figuring it all out. But, like, because that's where I sense, like, a lot of stress and anxiety with some of my students is, like, they think they have to be perfect. And I'm like, one, you're never going to be perfect. And two, you're 14. It's better you screw up now than, like, 5 years from now, because now then it's really bad, because then you're an adult.
Don't you wish you kind of knew that when you were younger? Like, part of me, like, it's just like, man, I was such, like, a goody two-shoes. Like, why did I just, like, mess up when I was younger? Like, this didn't matter. Like, you know, it somewhat does matter, like, with character and everything, but also it's just like, I did not have to take myself that seriously. But, like, I feel like that's something that you see looking back, especially with the pressure they're facing now. I would understand 100% if they could not see that for themselves.
Yeah.
Like, of course not.
It's really hard. And, like, you know, they start talking to kids about college, like, in middle school. And it's like, well, that's, like, a lot of pressure to put on, like, a middle schooler. And I kind of feel like I've aged backwards in the sense, like, I was a very serious kid. I was a very serious kid in, like, high school and stuff like that. And I'm much more, I don't know, because of yoga or mindfulness or whatever, but, like, as an adult, I'm like, what? There we go.
Me too! Me too! I was such a freaking serious, self-righteous, like, overachieving, like, asshole. Like, I was very stern. And now I'm just like, meh, who cares?
Yeah, it's like you start looking at the big picture and you're like, eh, it's okay. Like, don't, like, you know, I'm like, And like, I've got kids who are like, oh my God, I forgot to turn in an assignment. I'm like, guess what? One missing assignment in one class is not the end of the world. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, you can still go to Berkeley. It's fine.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's really hard for them because like the pressure to be perfect is there. And it's also added again with like we were talking about earlier, like with social media, like that layer on top of it. Mm-hmm. And like, cause that layer of social media honestly just represents the fact that your whole life is online. Like everyone, like, you know, like it just seems there's more access for people to judge you.
Right.
Like, and that's hard. Like that's so hard.
Right. And then, I mean, like once you get into adulthood, like learning, like that whole process, like from being a teen to like into adulthood of learning, like not to care what people think of you. I don't know. Like I still deal with it at times. And I think, like a lot of people do of like, we're not caring what people think because at the end of the day, as long as you're happy with yourself, like that's what matters.
Yeah. That is one of the toughest lessons.
Yeah.
Ongoing lessons of life. Do any other teachers at your school teach mental health or have you ever had any conversations with them about
it? Yeah, no, there's one of the teachers at my school, like we have tutorial, which is basically like an office hours type moment, 4 days a week. And he, like, every Thursday does a meditation tutorial. So, usually you have to go to, like, a teacher that you have. But on Thursdays, he lets anyone come into his classroom at tutorial, and he does, like, a guided meditation.
Oh, that's awesome.
For kids. And then we do have a yoga class taught by the health teacher that's, like, a semester-long class that kids can take. And that's more like a more traditional yoga. Like I do yin and stuff like that. But that's like more of a traditional like vinyasa yoga class. But like, I know a lot of kids just love it because it gets them moving like first thing in the morning, you know? Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff. We had a year or 2 years ago, we had like a mindfulness day and we had like all these booths set up of like different things that you can do when you're feeling stressed. And we had like therapy dogs come to campus and I'm a big proponent. Like if they let me have a dog in class, like I would go out and get a dog right now and bring that dog with me to class like every day. But cause like there's something about dogs just making you happy, like,
yeah,
I don't know, for me, I'm a dog person, so, but yeah, so, like, it's out there at our school, and, like, it's definitely become, like, on the forefront, because, in Southern California, there's, like, the rate, I don't know the exact numbers, but, like, the rate of, like, teenage suicide has been going up in, like, the last 10 years, and so, like, we're trying to make a really conscientious effort to, like, let kids know they can come and talk to us, or like, here are the tools, here are tangible tools you can do when you're feeling stressed or something like that.
Yeah. How does, that's wonderful. Like, I'm glad that there's a response to it and not just like a, cause it's like, honestly, you can see it go that way too. Like mm-hmm. I can see it going that way too. How do the parents feel about it?
I haven't heard any like negative response from any of the parents in any way. I think they're totally great with it. I don't know. The counselors and the administration hear more about that than like the parents, but like I've never heard anything negative about it in any way. And I know it's been like a big thing at our school because I'm at the end of my sixth year at my school. It's also my alma mater. I went there. At the high school I teach at now. Yeah, it's very exciting. And since I've been there, we've had 2 suicides in 6 years, which is like at the high school level, it's like, this is not. And so that's kind of like one of our big pushes is like, how can we help stop this?
Yeah. How,
you know, in some way, whatever, like what we have to do something tangible, because otherwise, like, you feel helpless. So it's like, okay, what can I, like, tangibly do with, like, the 150 students that I get every year to do something with them?
Yeah. Oh, you're such a good teacher. Let it you. No, it's so great though. Like, I'm so glad that you're doing that, and that your school is being more proactive about mental health. Because honestly, like, I wish when I was younger that someone had introduced to me the concept of mental health and mental illness and trauma and like all these different things, to where, you know, you're growing up and things are just the way they are. And then when high school hits and you have those added hormones and your brain is developing more. And so there's like more cognition and more information, but not the kind of information that's helping you put it all together. Like, it's right. Really tough. Look at that. Yeah. Hard knock life.
Yeah. And I mean, like, and I think it's also like one of the things I tell my freshmen, and like, I think this is key for like any teenager out there, is like, get involved somehow. Like, I don't care if you're on like the football team or the swim team, or you're in marching band or drama or whatever, like, find something where you have like a group of people with a similar interest. Cause I think that's key. Cause like, I had a pretty like positive experience in high school. And I attribute that mostly to like the drama department. Like, right, I was in drama, and like, I know I still keep in touch with so many people from that department. And like, now I teach in it, but I think that was like key, is like having that community. And so like, just find your people, man. And if that's like anime and you're in the anime club or whatever, like, cool. I don't care what it is. As long as, one, it doesn't hurt anyone. As long as it's like a community and people like that you feel a kindred spirit with, like, find that community. That's going to be key. And that's going to change high school. Cause if you don't have that, I don't, like, I can see why people would not like high school.
Yeah, me too. It definitely is always about, like, I agree with you so much. Like, I had a great time in high school because I did choir, and then I ended up doing marching band. I was like in different clubs and stuff. And so there was always people that I could relate to. And it, like, yeah. And then also too, like, if you have a strong community, like, I know like marching band is super like made fun of like a long time ago. They're like, whoa, marching band. But like, honestly, you spend so much time together in marching band, it's hard to not get close to people. Like, it's really nice. Like, and the thing is, like, you're playing instruments. You don't even have to talk half the time when you're doing, you know what I mean? Like, if you feel socially awkward and you don't even really like talking very much, when you join something like band, most of the time when you're together, you're not talking to each other, but you're all still doing the same thing.
Right. And there's like this total community, like there's this community that like automatically forms. And like, I've always felt socially awkward. Like even to this day, like, I hate going into a room full of adults. Cause I'm like, oh, what's going to happen? I don't know. Like, what's like the rules here? Right. And like, and it's so funny because like in any drama community I've been a part of, even if there are people that I didn't feel super close with, if something happened to one of us, like I remember like I got like some bad news before a show one night. I think I was like a sophomore or junior in high school. And so like I was outside the room and I started crying, and like it was like, phew, and like everyone came to me, and like people that I didn't think would really care about me, or like I didn't talk to a lot, like they were there. And like, it's like this weird unspoken thing that happens, like, right, like you don't even talk to people because you're playing the clarinet. You can't like talk and play the clarinet at the same time, but like, yeah, when you need something, people will, yeah, be there.
It's nice. Like, it's nice having that community is nice, and having that skill of building a community when you're younger too is important, like knowing how to find it, because we all know that making friends as an adult is really freaking weird.
Oh my god, yeah, it's like if you don't make friends like in your first week of college, you're like screwed through like adulthood, and like and because like that's who like you end up talking to. And I remember like in grad school I was like, this is weird. Like, I, like, moved to New York from California. Like, I didn't really know anyone. And, like, this one girl, like, after a week in my class, we realized we were taking, like, 3 out of 4 of the same classes together. And I found this out later. She was like, yeah, basically after the first week, once I realized you were in my classes and you didn't say anything like that I thought was stupid, I was like, she's my person. And I was like, you knew like that early that we were going to be like best friends? She's like, I just decided because like I commuted from New Jersey. So like I wasn't going to be around everyone all the time. So I just like decided you're my person. And I was one of the bridesmaids in her wedding.
Aww, that was so nice. Yeah, dude, finding your community and finding people, like, it's very important. Mm-hmm. It's very important. That was hilarious. okay, so it's been an hour, which went by really quickly, mm-hmm. I may say. So this was awesome and super fun. Before we go off, how can we do like a nice little wrap up for you? Cause it's not tips. Okay. This could be like a little long and that's totally fine. Why do you think it's important to introduce mental health to students?
One, destigmatize the whole idea of mental health, I think, is really important and make them realize like it doesn't like single them out in some way, that like they're actually part of the community. Because there's a lot of people who struggle with it in different ways. So that, and then like teenagers need coping and resiliency skills. And if you're mindful and you're aware of like your mental health, like teaching them those coping skills, and then like once they learn that, like how to be resilient in life. Because, like, talk about resiliency right now with everything that's going on. Holy cow. So I think, like, those are, like, the two most important things with, like, especially with teenagers and high school students.
Oh, my gosh. And I so agree. And I'm so glad that you came on to talk today. I hope you had a good time.
I did. This was definitely, like, highlight of the day, for sure.
Yeah. Yay. Thank you so much, Lisa, again, for coming to talk. Like, it's been really cool to hear, like, your story and also, like, the impact that you're having on your students, because as cheesy as it is, like, the children are our future.
Yes.
And I'm all for teaching mental health and anything that helps create a kinder, more conscientious world, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
Thanks for being with us, Lisa. I really enjoyed hearing about your yoga journey and how you're teaching your students. If we want to get rid of the stigma against mental health, then we need to start introducing the concept earlier and earlier. Kids are smart, and again, they have mental health. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so I hope this episode gave you some great things to think about. Until next time, please take care of yourself so you're ready when it's your turn to talk. Bye!